I spoke to Peter Reynolds, the Chief Executive Officer of the New Zealand Disability Support Network, about a report released by the Disability Commissioner saying that our disabled community was severely disadvantaged by the country's COVID response. So to start with, I was wondering if you could please outline some of the biggest failings in the country's COVID response for our disabled community.
I think there's two things that are highlighted in the Disability Commissioner's report that we would strongly agree with. The first is the issue around the quality of communication, and the second would involve leadership. We know that the COVID response is unique. Having a pandemic like this, nobody's ever had this before, and it requires quite a different approach than one might have applied to different things in the past. However, the communication, the timing of that communication, and the confused nature of that communication has been really problematic for disability support providers, and hence for disabled people themselves. Not knowing what to do or where to get vaccinated, knowing that they're part of a vaccination mandate, but being given only 4 working days to sort out whether they're going to be vaccinated or sent down the road, not knowing where they get N95 masks from or RAT tests, all of this stuff just kept bubbling on and continues to be an issue. So the quality of communication, I think, has been really significant, and that's something that the Ministry does need to take on board. It needs to learn from that, and it needs to engage with the sector in future to ensure that that communication is more accurate and more timely. The second issue that caused us great concern that we agree with the report on is around leadership, and that is again pointed at the Ministry of Health and saying that they needed to demonstrate to the sector and to disabled people that they were willing to take leadership in working with the sector to determine what the issues were from time to time and how those issues would be addressed. If they'd done that in a more pragmatic way, if they'd done it more openly, then people would have had a much better idea of where they stood and what to expect week on week. Instead, we spent most of our energy fighting and knocking at the door of the Ministry of Health, saying, this issue is now getting bigger than Ben Hur, what do we need to do about it? And the Ministry would go all quiet for a while they try to figure it out. So everything was very reactive instead of proactive. Now, I don't imagine that you could have everything planned out perfectly for something like this, but we could have done better than we did, and the report has certainly highlighted that. The only weakness we see in the report is that there's a lack of reference to providers and the opportunity for the Ministry or for the government to work with disability support providers to implement some of the recommendations that have been made. We're very eager to do that. We want to make sure this works in future, that we're working collaboratively, and that the experience of disabled people is much better than it has been over the last 12 months.
Yes, because I remember seeing a reference made to Australia in the release sent out. So they made sort of vaccinations and PPE freely available to disabled people from the outset.
It was always going to be the case that disabled people were going to need access to those sorts of resources. So to delay it, to require the sector to go through a not insignificant battle to try and win that ground was just wasteful. We didn't need to do that. For something that was going to be inevitable, we should have been upfront and combined with the government and said, right, these things are available right now for people who have lived experience of disability. We're going to support them. Instead of forcing them to go to vaccination clinics, we're going to have mobile vaccination services that will come to you. Those sorts of decisions should have been made much, much earlier.
Now, I remember also seeing something in the report that the change in our national approach from the lockdown sort of level system to the traffic light system again saw a big reduction in public health protections, especially around our disabled community. How do you think the traffic light system has again doubled down on disadvantaging our disabled community?
I think this points back to communication confusion. We had a system that, frankly, people were just getting used to when the government decided to change it. And they changed it for probably the right reasons, but the transition between one system and the other and the communication that came out to support that transition, to explain things to people, was not as well handled as it could have been. We received very little information about the new system, before the traffic light system, until after it came out and we started firing questions back at the ministry and said, well, what do we do with this? What do we do with that? So again, it just seemed to be a reactionary approach rather than a proactive approach.
So what would you like to see from the government moving forward?
I guess a lot of this stuff is a reflection on the past. What I'd like to see going ahead in future, because COVID's not going to go away anytime soon, I'd like to see the government say, look, thanks very much. We take this report on board. We're prepared to sit down with the sector, both disabled people and disability support providers, and the commissioner to talk through the recommendations and how we can make those things happen. And that sort of collaborative approach, I think, would help set the scene for future management of these sorts of pandemic type issues.
Do you think this whole issue was bred out of a complete, just sort of a lack of understanding from the government around disability issues and rights?
I think there was a little bit of that. It's probably more that the way everything tended to transpire was as a result of panic, just the size of the pandemic and its impact on our community, rather than people just taking a breath, counting to 10, having a look at what needs to be done, and saying, actually, we can work, it's not all on us to make these decisions. We can work collaboratively with the community to make sure we've got this under better control.
I think that was everything on my end. Do you have anything else you would like to add?
I'm really interested in what people do with this report. I'd be really disappointed if the report simply got popped on a shelf and gathered dust and was otherwise ignored. I think it's a good report. I think the Disability Commissioner needs a bit of kudos for doing this job and coming out with it. It was a little rushed, but nevertheless it needed to happen. The issue that I think the Disability Commissioner was particularly interested in is where support services to disabled people were adversely impacted. So in other words, where the support workers themselves were coming down testing positive or were close contact, couldn't continue to provide the service in an environment where we've got a staff shortage anyway. So a disabled person sitting in their home is expecting somebody to come to the door and nobody fronts up. That was the concern, the primary concern, I think, that was behind this report. And there's a little bit of that demonstrated in the findings of the report. So how do we address that in future? And that requires, as I say, a commitment from government to sit down with the sector and say, right, what do we need to do to address this? Let's plan for the future now.
That was Peter Reynolds, the Chief Executive Officer of the New Zealand Disability Support Network.